Welcome to Product Brand Management, Chapter 14. This chapter is about aging brands and revitalization. The objective of this chapter is to understand the causes that lead to a brand's decline and the strategies involved in revitalizing the brand. Now, let's look at what are aging and mature brands. So, mature brands are older brands, and their value to a company over time is not just from annual sales. It's about the respect that the brand has built over time. It's about the kind of equity that the brand controls in the market, commands in the market. And the characteristics are basically in these four dimensions: that of the brand, that of the price, the sales, and technology and investment. Now, a brand is mature when over a period of time it has built a certain amount of value and equity for the company, and it has commanded a certain price premium, it has had a certain amount of sales, and there's been a certain amount of technology and investment that has gone into actually making the brand. But when the brand is declining, typically it happens because quality is forgotten, because there are not significant differences between that brand and competitive brands in the market. Then sometimes the brands miss out on new trends in the market. Sometimes there's what we call the mono-product syndrome. There are distribution factors that have a problem, that create problems for brands. Then there is weak communication that sometimes creates a distance. Let's look at some of these factors that actually contribute to declining brands. So there are times when a brand over a period of time becomes a little complacent about its quality. So over a period of time, people in the company that is actually manufacturing and marketing the brand, they tend to become a little more complacent. They tend to think that it's all right, this brand is going to be selling any which way forever and ever, and they don't have it in mind to actually keep on innovating on a regular basis. As a result of which, quality suffers, and as soon as quality starts suffering, some loyal consumers keep consuming the brand, but eventually the consumption of the brand, the usage and buying behavior of the brand peters out over a period of time. Then there are times when a brand is doing really well, it's become mature, but because of not being able to keep up with times, there are times when the rest of the products in the market also become just as good as this current brand or better. The differences, the USPs that first formed the brand, that first led to the brand commanding a certain kind of equity, they don't exist anymore because it's not a differentiating factor anymore. Now, this happens quite a bit with a lot of brands that were formed in, say, the 70s, 60s and 70s and are still prevalent, but the environment in which they operate has changed. That is how they actually miss out on new trends. There are some brands that try to actually follow the new trends but do it blindly. An example in the US was that of Barnes & Noble. Barnes & Noble had a chain of bookstores, very well reputed, very well organized, everything was great, and they actually decided to get into the internet business as well, because internet in the West was booming, and they thought that their business was actually suffering because of internet penetration in the US. So what they decided to do was, they thought, we will form complete online stores as well, and they tried digitization, but because the brand did not lend itself to the online business at that time, it actually failed. And when they actually shut down the internet business, re-looked at the internet business and went back to their proper brick and mortar stores, that's when the brand was revitalized again. Sometimes the mono-product syndrome leads to the decline of a brand. For example, let's look at Ruabza. Ruabza was a very popular brand in India in the 70s and 80s, even the 90s. But over the last 10 years or so, the sales have gone down, the interest in the brand is not as much. One of the reasons is also that it's such a crowded market as far as beverages are concerned, and the company only has that one product in that beverage section, the Hamdard's Ruabza. So Hamdard, as a matter of fact, has now come out with a strategy to revitalize the brand, bring out more extensions of it, and re-enter the market again. Then there are distribution factors. There are times when, even if a brand is doing all right, even if a brand is still commanding equity, even if consumers are still willing to buy the brand, there are times when distribution doesn't remain that good. And at the end of the day, whatever you see in an actual store whether it's online or offline, that is what you'll buy as a consumer. If the product that is being advertised is not available, then it doesn't make any sense to advertise it. And for the consumer, they can't buy it. There is no choice. Over a period of time, brand preferences will then change. So today, if I'm looking for Nestle milk, UHT Tetra Pak Nestle milk, I go to my neighborhood store and I don't find it there, I'll pick up the next substitute product, next available substitute product, which could be an Amul milk, which could be a Mother Dairy milk, which could be a Britannia milk. I'll pick it up and I'll come home with it. The next time I go looking for a milk, I'll again look for Nestle milk because that is my preferred brand. If I don't find it again, I will again start looking for a substitute product. By the third time this happens, by the third or fourth time this happens, I would have formed some sort of a preference for the substitute brand and that will become my primary brand. 3 months later, if I actually see a Nestle lying around, I probably will not pick it up still. That is how distribution factors. If the Nestle distribution is not that great, it can actually lead to a decline in the brand. That is how distribution factors actually aid in the declining of a brand. Then there's weak communication that creates a distance. There are times when a brand is good, a brand is doing well, there is a certain amount of respect, equity, people like it, people want to buy it. Having said that, just because you've launched a brand, just because it's perceived in a certain way, does not mean you stop communicating about it. It is very important to understand that brand communication is actually a regular process. As soon as you stop communicating your brand, that is when decline also starts. So for some time, a brand will handle lack of communication, and that's a part of strategy, saying, all right, you know, we will actually come out with marketing communication programs only during our season time, which is 3 months in a year. Other than that, we'll normally keep quiet. But the fact is, if you keep quiet, you sort of get out of public consciousness. Again, in the next season, you have to spend disproportionately more money in order to ensure that people still remember your brand. Weak communication, therefore, will always create a distance. Sometimes it's not just lack of communication, it's also the fact that the right kind of communication is not being put out there. That can also lead to a distance between a consumer and a brand. Some of the other factors for declining of brands is within the organization. They can be arrogance, greed, complacency, inconsistency, and what we call myopia or short-sightedness. Now, these things normally happen within a company that has existed for a certain amount of time. And like I mentioned during the last slide as well, people within the organization start thinking that this brand is going to work, people are going to buy it no matter what. The consumer is taken for granted. And once that happens, a brand starts declining. There is absolutely no substitute for good old-fashioned consumer service or thinking about what the consumer wants, constantly innovating. There is no substitute for that. As soon as complacency or arrogance or greed sets in, that's it. The brand is bound to decline. Aging of brands can be looked at in terms of phasing and reflection. We will look at the symptoms of aging brands and we'll also look at the brand life cycle and look at how we can actually plan to revitalize a brand that has declined. Let's look at some of the symptoms of aging brands. So insufficient preparation for the future is a symptom of an aging brand. Insufficient capacity to capture growth pockets as they emerge. So what you need to do is you need to constantly be on the lookout for new growth pockets in the market or outside of the markets, new consumer segments, new SEC segments, new social classes. You have to keep looking out as to where my brand can sell more. Unless you have the growth mindset within the company as a brand owner, as a brand manager, as the CEO of the company, the brand is likely to decline in a bit. Insufficient relevance. There are times when you've launched something with great communication, everything else is great, but the relevance for the consumer is not that high. If that is the case, then a lot of times the brand will start declining because of lack of relevance. Now, insufficient dual management, insufficient vitality to contact, insufficient self-stimulation, insufficient staffing. All these are very internal organizational issues. that eventually lead to the organization not functioning well enough in order to actually keep innovating with the brand, to keep revitalizing it, and the brand eventually starts declining. So if any of these symptoms are actually occurring in your organization, these are red flags. You should know that if something of this sort is happening, it means that a brand might undergo a decline, and it is time to actually start thinking about a proper brand strategy. Now let's look at the perspective of revitalizing brands. This is a basic brand life cycle. There is birth, growth, maturity, decline, and death. At this level, at the decline level, this is where a lot of revitalization occurs. So what you need to do is, from decline, you have to take it back to growth. From the decline stage, you have to take it back to the growth stage. And that is about revitalization of brands, really. So let's look at the perspective of revitalization. How is revitalization done? What are the various strategies that are followed? So revitalizing by redefining the brand essence. There are times when the brand essence itself becomes a little outdated, becomes a little irrelevant for the audience or the new trend or the market or the country. It is time for the brand then to actually relook at the brand essence and change it. In general, because brand essence is so core to a brand strategy, it is not recommended to keep changing it all the time. But the fact is, if a brand is in decline, if a brand is going to die, it is better to actually change something core about the brand and see if you can make a difference using it. Revitalizing through new users. There are times when a brand becomes irrelevant in a certain segment of society. A certain class of users no longer want to buy the brand. In such cases, it's important to actually say that, you know what, I will look at the users above this segment, or I will look at the users below this segment. So you can actually use your brand extensions, image related brand extensions, like I explained in the last chapter, to great effect in order to actually revitalize through new users. Then you can revitalize through distribution changes. So for example, in the case of Maruti Suzuki, they formed an entirely new chain of showrooms called Nexa. Now Nexa is a new distribution channel. This is meant only for their premium cars, only for the premium segment cars that cost above a certain amount. Now that is revitalization of the brand Maruti Suzuki through a change in distribution, because people have not usually looked at Maruti as a brand, as a company that can make luxury cars or make premium cars, and as a result of which cars like Kizashi and the Grand Vitara, while being good quality cars, actually did not do very well in the Indian market. Now the ones that have been sold at a premium within the Maruti brand name are still doing a little better, simply because Maruti has changed their entire strategy and have gone in for this distribution change. So at a higher level of consumers, the brand has actually gotten revitalized. Of course, at a mid and a lower level of the society, at the A level and B level cars, Maruti does not need any revitalization because it's been the market leader forever and ever. But at the higher segment, the C segment and above, it actually needed revitalization, which it has achieved through distribution changes. Now you can also revitalize through innovation. For example, a brand like Nokia. Nokia actually innovated, changed its entire platform, and came out with the Lumia. Lumia became a silver bullet brand, like I explained last time in the last chapter. Lumia became a silver bullet brand for Nokia and actually revitalized the good Nokia name. Nokia had actually become irrelevant before they came out with the Lumia smartphones. But with the Lumia smartphones, people again started looking at Nokia as a good, relevant player in the smartphone market. You can also revitalize through segmentation or through by contact with opinion leaders, through 360-degree communication, and sometimes even by changing the business model. So let's look at some of these things. Like I said, sometimes moving the brand up or down, by extending it up or down, you can actually get new consumers in your fold. And if you segment those consumers well enough, you can actually, because of segmentation, revitalize a brand that would have otherwise gone into a decline. What you can also do is ensure that people who are very well respected in the society start talking about you. So you revitalize by contact with opinion leaders. There are times when all you really need is a good brand communication exercise. So a full 360 degree communication exercise can actually revitalize your brand sometimes. But at other times, you'll have to change the business model in order to revitalize your brand, because maybe the business model is just not relevant enough anymore. Let's look at Larry Light's 6 rules for brand revitalization. According to him, in order to revitalize a brand, you have to refocus the organization. Then you have to restore brand relevance. You have to reinvent the brand experience, reinforce a result culture. You have to rebuild the brand trust within the consumers. And you have to realize global alignment. So following these 6 steps is actually one of the good models, one of the better models for revitalizing your brand. When I mentioned organizations like, say, a Hamdard who had gone into with the brand Ruhafza that had gone into a decline, refocusing the organization towards being more marketing savvy, towards being more product savvy, towards being more consumer centric. Refocusing the organization towards these things can actually help revitalize a brand. But with that, you also have to restore brand relevance. So Ruhafza has actually now decided to come up with Tetra Paks, small Tetra Paks, for like Fruity does, just for being able to, so that one can just pick it up off the shelf and drink it, instead of going home and mixing the Ruhafza with 3 parts water and mixing it and drinking it. So that was supposed to be. So what they're doing is they're sort of taking down the barriers to entry as far as the product usage is concerned. The brand relevance therefore goes up because it's looked at in a more modern, more contemporary way. This is also a part of reinventing the brand experience. Now if you reinforce the result culture, which means that within the organization you are ensuring that people are actually focused towards certain results. For example, if Ruhafza's aims are to improve brand awareness scores, improve brand association scores, and improve sales, of course, then everybody in the organization has to be focused, and they have to be completely aligned towards realizing those results. And that is an organization-wide result culture. So if you reinforce that within your organization, you're likely to be able to do much better for your brand. Also, you have to rebuild brand trust, which can normally happen through a lot of communication and through actual usage of the product. So in Ruhafza's case, once this new launch happens and they do a 360 degree communication in the right target audience pockets around them, beyond that, the product itself has to live up to the expectations. So if they're coming out with new Tetra Paks, it has to have just the right proportion of sweet, just the right proportion of how the drink should taste, etc. Only then people will actually start looking at that brand and thinking, yes, A, this is a heritage brand that's been around forever. B, I really like this new product. That is how the brand will finally be revitalized. Also, you have to realize global alignment, if at all required. You have to understand what is happening in the global environment, and you have to follow some trends. You have to ensure that either you are ahead of the trends or you are actually following them. Being behind the trends is one sure shot way of getting your brand into decline. So let's try and summarize this chapter. Mature brands are older brands, and their value to a company is over time. It has accumulated equity, it has accumulated respect over a period of time. It's not just from annual sales. The life cycle of a brand includes birth, growth, maturity, decline, and death. And you know, when a brand is in decline, what we really need to do is ensure that we take it from decline to growth using certain strategies. Declining brands have certain very important characteristics. When quality is forgotten, it can go into a decline. When you have non-significant differences between that brand and the rest of the product category, the brand can go into a decline. When you miss a new trend, this is a very important point, when you miss a new trend, your brand can go into decline. When you have the monoproduct syndrome, that is also a recipe for disaster as far as your brand is concerned. Distribution factors and weak communications, like I explained earlier. How to revitalize brands? We discussed revitalizing by redefining the brand essence, revitalizing through new uses, revitalizing through distribution change, and revitalizing through innovation. Other perspectives on revitalization are revitalization through segmentation, by contact with opinion leaders, through 360-degree communication, and changing the business model. We also looked at Larry Light's 6 rules for brand revitalization. The process is about refocusing the organization towards a certain result, towards achieving certain results, restoring brand relevance in the minds of the consumer, reinventing the brand experience for the consumer, reinforcing a result-oriented culture across the organization, right from top to the bottom. Everyone should have the same result focus in mind, rebuilding brand trust in the minds of the consumer, and realizing global alignment. So this chapter has been about brand revitalization, how brands age, decline, and die, and how we can actually revitalize a declining brand. Thank you.